And now, the Street Photography Magazine podcast with your host, Bob Patterson.
Welcome back to the Street Photography Magazine podcast. I'm your host, Bob Patterson, publisher of Street Photography Magazine. And our guest today is Rick Smith. He is our featured photographer for the month of 2024. And we always like to do a podcast with our featured person when we can. And so it's great to be able to catch up with Rick. I've been following his work for several years. And Rick is in LA. He's a very avid street photographer. And he's been, I don't know, I think he's been a fixture in the Los Angeles street photography scene for quite a while. And there's a lot of great street photographers in LA. I think a lot of it's due to Julia Dean, who's been training people there for years. Anybody, I think, who's worked under Julia does some pretty amazing work. Anyway, he's nodding his head at me, yes. But, you know, welcome, Rick. Thanks for being with us.
Oh, thank you for inviting me, and it's a pleasure meeting you.
Yeah, same here. You know, we had a little chat on the phone a few weeks ago, but we didn't get to meet live in person here on Zoom. We record these things on Zoom, if you didn't know. So it's really nice to be able to see somebody when you're speaking with them. You know, we used to do it I forget the name of the service, the phone service that Microsoft owns now. And we used to do it on there for years. And once we had the opportunity to do it by video, it's been really nice, because, you know, you get to see people's expressions.
Exactly. Chatting is often, you will make a determination on how the person feels.
Exactly.
But you'll often be wrong.
That's right.
That's right. Much better.
And I can do hand signals too.
Yes.
We get to do that. But anyway, enough of that stuff. Yeah, Rick's been a longtime street photographer in the Los Angeles area. Does a lot of work with the homeless and Skid Row area, and I'm sure we'll be able to talk about that. And also in Union Station, which I've been a real admirer of his work in Union Station in LA. And we're in the process of creating a book that features photos taken by people in their favorite location. And of course, Rick had submitted some photos from Union Station, which I really appreciate. So we're working on that. Oh, by the way, people ask us, okay, where are you on the book? And we've got a few thousand submissions. Many thanks. And so we're sorting through those, and we're getting ready to make some selections and then start the sequencing process. We may add or remove or change things as we start to sequence. So it's a very interesting process. This is our first book, and we're learning a lot. So,
cool.
You know what? I'm sorry to get in your way, Rick, but people are asking, so I thought I'll use this opportunity to tell them what's going on. So, but it is in the works, and many thanks to everybody. All right, Rick, so tell us, you've been doing street photography or photography in general for a long time. Why don't you just tell us about your journey in photography, how you get started and where it's taken you?
I wanted to be a television director. I felt that I had a gift. I would walk around or when I was driving and I would be a camera, and I would be my own dolly or dolly shots, panoramics, the whole thing. And for my for the assignment in junior high school for what we wanted to be when we grew up, I said I wanted to be a director. And so the teacher said, well, no, really, what do you want to do? And I said, that's it. So I actually went out and interviewed at least 15 television directors. We're talking My Three Sons, Danny Thomas Show, wow. Adventures in Paradise, for those of you that are around my age will remember those, and a lot more shows. And all I did was get the Hollywood Variety on Friday, which would list the directors. I'd call the studio and I'd say, can I speak to John Pizer? And say, one moment, please. And he'd be working on the set. And I tell him that I'm, you know, 14 years old and I want to, sure, your name's going to be at the gate. Can you make it on?
Wow.
So I did that. My mother drove me, of course, and just wanted to create. That's all I wanted to do, was create. Later on, I did go to film school. We had to submit a story. All the students had gone through to the point of doing the student film, and they submitted a story. My story was one, essentially, and so I got to write and direct the student film, which was done in 16mm sound. It was totally professional.
Wow.
You know, instead of 35, it was 16mm. We had a studio, we had a soundstage. Anyways, so from there, I had a few jobs. I had a few writing jobs. I did public service announcements. I did a suicide prevention that did air on PBS or KCET, which is the local station here. Other public service announcements, gun safety. Well, it was like climate change back then. It was, air pollution, which was been really bad, of course, in Los Angeles. So, and then I decided to get into the business, and I didn't, I wanted to direct, of course, but that wasn't in the cards. So I worked props for a long time, on commercials and movies and stuff. And then I decided that I was afraid, actually, that the phone was not going to ring again.
Never wait for the phone to ring.
Yes. So I took a day job in the office products industry, which at the time was very good to me. It kept the money coming in. Then fast forward to, I had to transfer to, mind you, all this time I'm shooting the still camera, 35mm, taking it to the lab or back then the 24-hour photo. And, you know, and actually my friend and I would go out to the desert and shoot. And he'd always say to me, he'd say, Smith, you really have a good eye. I said, yeah, sure. Yeah. And I humbly say that he was right. I mean, I believe I do. I believe I have a gift. So fast forward to when digital came into its own, and I didn't have to spend money and go to a lab, and I never could go to a real lab to have an A print or, you know, have anything custom done other than cropping. So my first good camera was an Olympus with 1.75 megapixel, something like that. And then I submitted a photo in their Olympus USA contest. I won grand prize.
Wow.
For the spring. And I submitted another image for summer, and I won the grand prize for summer too. And I thought, I love this. I mean, I wasn't even doing post-processing, you know. I mean, I kept upgrading my camera, of course, as the technology got better.
Of course.
And then I was working in Northern California. I had a transfer with the office supply company I was working for, and I went to a park that was having an event, and there was a man there, older man, that had a bunch of parrots. And being a parrot owner myself, I was, you know, I talked about parrots and stuff. He said, you know what? He said, I did this to somebody when I was in San Diego. He said, why don't you? He said, wait, watch. So he called over a lady paramedic who was like working the event. Mm-hmm. And he put the birds on her shoulders, on her arms. And he said, go ahead and take a picture of it. And you submit it to the local paper here. And I did this to somebody in San Diego, and they started working for that paper. And lo and behold,
really?
I did. I worked nights and weekends. It's still around. It's a prominent paper in the Fresno. It's called Tri-City Voice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I forget the cities, Hayward, Union City, and I forget the other one. But I went to events. I did things that I would never have thought of doing, and was able to get in. And
yeah,
the monarch butterfly hatchery and police events, and every place I went, and they saw my badge, and they said, "Oh, you left your newspaper." So that was like the only thing I had to do that I was really aware of, and the editor was aware of that. I couldn't be too creative. I had to tell the story.
Oh, yeah.
And then a touch of creativity in there. And I remember, the talk about surprises, my first assignment was shooting Christmas lights. And I did that. And I never knew what she was going to do with my images.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a doctor's appointment, and I went in and sat down, and there was a stack of newspapers, and I held it up, and I had the front page. And I held it up to everybody in the room. Yeah. This is me.
Look at that. That's cool.
Yeah.
I was like, when you go into somebody's house, and one of your photos is there.
Yes.
Did that have, to me, it's yes. Just what a rush.
And I got reminded last week from a woman that bought two of my images at an exhibit, and she posted the picture, and she said, "We're still enjoying and loving Rick's art." You know,
wow,
that was so nice of her. So that there's another story there. I had my very first solo exhibit, like 2013 or late 2012, really? And it was very exciting, and I sold the two images to this woman, and she called me the next day, and she said, you know, my husband, who he and his partner have a big CPA firm in Encino, which is a, you know, very ritzy area of San Fernando Valley, and he's thinking about having you do the images. They're entertainment CPAs, and sure enough, 8 months later, he called me. And so they're there, and from there I had people calling me and say, "Oh, I just had my taxes done. Do you do stuff for houses?" And I said, "Yeah, you know." So that was wonderful. It was just a wonderful experience.
It's the how did all this lead to street photography?
I'm glad you asked. When I got laid off, I was able to go downtown during the day, during the weekday, as well as the weekend. So I went to Union Station. I eventually made friends with a volunteer who had been at Union Station at the information booth for 25 years at that time. Wonderful human being who's since passed away. And I would wait there. People were obviously coming and going and stuff, and would ask directions, and sometimes come up and be angry at him for something that he had nothing to do with, or tell him a story, or he would tell them a story and keep them laughing, or just. And so I got so many wonderful portraits, I guess, of reaction shots over the shoulder, essentially, over his shoulder. I got his reaction. I got just wonderful images that are on my, you know, in the Union Station folder right now on my website. And then, I mean, I went there so often that if people didn't hear from me during the week, didn't see anything from Union Station, they'd worry about me because I lived there, you know.
Wow.
And so from there, I'd walk the streets. I'd walk miles and miles, and I would see people that were down on their luck. And I would talk to them, and I would make it a point to extend my hand, to introduce myself and ask them their name, a little bit about them. I would ask them if I could, you know, make some images of them. And, you know, obviously they're, you know, money was involved. And sometimes when they said, yeah, I mean, do you have a dollar or so you could spare? And I say, well, sure, you know, there's no problem. Or when they say, no, I don't want that. I don't, you know. So I heard a lot of interesting stories that hit really close to home, so close that I thought, you know, I know a lot of people, including myself, that are just one, whatever, one workday away from being homeless, or one situation, bad situation, bad luck,
bad decision. Yeah.
Bad decision. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it isn't just people that are addicted and, you know, on drugs or mentally ill. And of course that's the big story now. But there are just people that just ended up in the hospital or something, or family was way far away and they couldn't get any help. It's just, and they were trying to get back on their feet.
Stuff, especially in your area, it's so expensive anyway.
I have seen such huge amount of changes. With Los Angeles, I mean, you could almost stand on the street corner for the whole day and see the changes. I mean, that fast. They would, where there was a parking lot, that became a building, and then later on that building became a parking lot. Places that were supposed to be affordable housing never happened. You know, whatever they had to say to get the money to go ahead with the project, and then somehow they figured out that how to get out of it.
Of course. I'd like to take a quick break to thank the Street Photography Magazine subscribers for your support. We couldn't do this without you. You may have noticed that we don't sell advertising or sponsorships in the podcast or inside Street Photography Magazine itself. And that's because we want to be completely objective about the work we publish and the services and gear that we cover. Our only constituent is you, our listeners and readers. So if you like what we're doing, you can support the show by subscribing to Street Photography Magazine. It's only $5 per month, and you can do it by visiting streetphotographymagazine.com/subscribe. And now back to the show.
I was on your website for one of your exhibits. Somebody wrote like a introduction. Sorry, I didn't know their name, but I like the way they wrote it. And they said something that I think rings true with looking at your work. And the person said you were influenced by Depression era photos, where your work is, and I can see that. And is that on purpose?
No, I mean,
is it subliminal? You know,
I would see Dorothea Lange, and of course, and then somebody said, "Oh my God, you remind me of Walker Edmonds." So Evans. So I love that, and of course, I love when I could go out to places like, I mean, talk about a different time period, like on Route 66, you'll see everything. And I, the thing, I don't know if what you're reading, when I was working for the newspaper, I got a call from the editor and she said, well, we've assigned our head writer to write an article about you. So that may, and I think I posted that on my, I think I did. Anyway, it was a wonderful, wonderful story. And I was honored.
I don't blame you. That is quite an honor. So they did an article about you as well, huh?
Yes.
I see your work, and you have a very distinctive style. And I mean, which is, I'm jealous of you, actually.
No, thank you.
you do such good work. But do you ever feel drawn or pulled in another direction to do something differently? Or you just kind of go with your own sense and just be yourself?
It's a combination of both.
Yeah.
And maybe this is not, this has been detrimental in some small way, but I go, when I walk, from Union Station, let's say, to downtown, it's a couple, 3 miles or 4 miles or whatever. But I stop for the architecture, as many times as I've seen the City Hall. I stop for and shoot flowers and do macro. And because it's beautiful to me, it's or a leaf, especially during fall on the ground. I mean, I never step on it. I'll bend down a little harder these days, but bend down and take a picture of it. And I love the texture and the colors and those things. I hope that will never go away. I don't think it will. So I can't help it. I can't help it. And even the Union Station, I mean, obviously, the interior, the exterior, I love architecture as well.
Yeah, it shows. It shows.
But the faces, getting back, people, the faces are important to me. Their expressions, pretty faces, characters, people with a lot of lines, elderly people that have stories written on their face. And, admittedly, sometimes I may be, not the only person, but I mean, it obviously the things that I the images that I make, there are some that I've deleted, of course, gone back. And conversely, there are some that I didn't like back then and really like now.
It's funny how that happens.
Yes, yes.
Don't hit the delete button.
I know, on Facebook, it's amazing. I have a lot of photo friends and non-photo friends, and something that my group of friends didn't like 10 years ago really love now. I don't know how to explain it. I think part of it, is maybe more of who I am now as a street photographer. I don't want to say like brand, but I mean, sometimes I feel like I don't give myself enough credit. I don't know how that's going to sound, but
I think I believe
in myself as much as other people believe in.
I hear that a lot. That's so common, I think, probably in any art form. Matter of fact, I've purchased two of the Magnum workshops, but Alex Soth, I had his, and another one I'm just starting to watch. And both of those people said they start out talking about their career and, you know, how they got started, and if similar to what we're talking about today. And both of them said, you know, they have and still have lots of self-doubt about what they do. And I think you probably wouldn't be an artist if you didn't.
Yes. I mean, I've heard that, you know, and I've also shared that with other artists.
Yeah.
As well, and heard that.
Very common, very common. Let me ask you this. You do a lot of monochrome.
What's
with all the monochrome?
I love monochrome.
Me too.
I love it. And I hear, you know, I have a friend, a good friend. I mean, not a good friend, but I mean, honored to be his friend. He's a director of photography and an Emmy award winning one at that. He's a wonderful man.
Wow.
I think I can see it's Johnny Simmons is his name, and his work is incredible. He grew up in Chicago, you know, like in the 60s, and he was shooting images at 15, working for a paper. And his stuff is beautiful, incredible expression, civil right. So yeah, if you get a chance, check him out.
I just wrote that down.
He's just a sweetheart. So when he did a podcast, I don't know if it was for Leica, but somebody said, well, why do you shoot black and white? And he said, well, you know, he finds color distracting. And of course, for what he does and what he did,
yeah,
I get it. And so, and when I hear other people saying, you know, talking about how great color, you know, in general, just saying how great color is or how great black and white is, I caution everybody to add the words for me. They're not talking about it. Yes, this works for me, you know, and that's the important thing. And, you know, while I'm on that, the art being in the eye of the beholder is a truth to me. I don't, sure, there might be technical things that are not right, and sure, it might have looked better if the portrait was, you know, if the photographer or the artist used the rule of thirds, but if he or she looks at that image and says, "I love it," that's it.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I mean, that's the way I feel about it. And my students, I impart, you know, they have asked me. I teach photography for the Parks and Recreation. I teach a 7-week course, and I teach a downtown LA walking workshop. Oh, right. So, you know, I started to get a lot of requests for, can't we see everybody's image at the end? Because I give them homework assignments. And at first I thought, well, you know, I don't, you know, there are images that are, you know, totally out of focus and stuff. And I said, well, no, you know what? This is part of it. This is part of the, you know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not going to say that, you know, see that one really out of focus, she did it. I would never, you know, and not comment on it.
Yeah.
So, and then, you know, my thing with critiques, I guess, is a lot of it is, and I've heard this before, but, you know, a lot of times if it doesn't grab me right away.
So you teach a lot. I mean, what do you get out of teaching? I mean, what's the biggest aha moment or learning moment you've had from teaching somebody else?
It's when they come up to me and they say, you know, remember when you said that, you know, look, the smaller the number, the larger the opening or whatever, or
yeah,
the exposure compensation. I was out. And it was dark, and I used it. You remember, you know, and it was a wow moment for them, but it was a bigger wow moment for me.
Uh-huh.
It just felt so good that I am teaching, you know, and they are learning.
Yeah.
And
it's
as simple as that. And it gives me such a good feeling. And they'll come over and say, you know what? I love this class. Or this is not, you know, 100% of the time and 100% of the students and not what I hear
of
all
course.
The time.
Yeah. But when it happens,
and it happens, yeah. It just really makes me feel good.
Yeah.
That I've taught.
Yeah. What a thrill to know you've made a difference in somebody else's life by sharing your knowledge.
Yeah. Yes.
Even something as simple as exposure compensation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell them, you know, all the things you can use if it's too dark, you know, you can change the ISO and you can, you know, this.
Yeah.
And if you have an onboard flash, remember you have that. You know, if you're in a situation where, you know, it's not, you know, something is fairly close, just remember that you have it. You have it at your disposal to lighten up the scene. You know, and we go on location places and we shoot the macro and there's some really fun places to go. We used to go to the Paramount Ranch, which was a working Western set, but that burnt down about 5 years ago and they're rebuilding it now.
Wow. So I saw, in fact, I've got your website here in front of me and you had an exhibit, Spring Street Cafe.
Yes.
A couple of months ago, early like January 24.
Yes, for 2 months.
Yeah. First of all, how do you get your work shown like that? And we all want people to see our work. And a lot of us don't. I mean, where do you start? How'd you make that happen?
Exactly.
It's
wanting it shown. It isn't wanting to sell it. It's just wanting to show people your art. And then, I'm glad you asked because there are a lot of agencies now that are onto the gallery thing. And so they're wonderful places, but they're asking for a lot of money. They're asking for, sometimes you do have to do cleaning, just like renting an apartment or something, or cleaning. And you can't hang them, you can't put it, you know. But the fact that it, you know, it has to go through a middle man.
Yeah. I never thought about
raises
that.
The price. Yeah. So unless you have a lot of people and then there's also if you have too many people, then you can't do it or they'll raise the rent. So anyways, I just kept looking and looking and looking and I'd gone into this cafe, which is in a historic building in downtown, right in the heart of downtown LA. I had coffee and stuff there. And when I got home, I looked at the website and at the very last page, it said, if you want to exhibit here. So, and actually I did notice some images up there. So it had just changed hands. And so I emailed the owner and he said, yes, let's talk. And so, before this happened, I said, anybody interested in exhibiting? And there were a couple of people, but I ended up with one person, Brian Allen, who was a wonderful photographer and artist as well. So we talked and everything, and opening night, he was, you know, he stayed late, he made stuff, you know, it was good for him, it was good for us. A lot of my friends, a lot of Brian's friends, it was very exciting. And I think we'd asked for 1 month and then, you know, how about another month? And he said, sure. So they were, you know, they were very nice. And that's those situations are out there, you know, it's the right place, the right time kind of thing. And
you don't ask, you don't get.
Right. Yeah.
Did you have like a portfolio to bring along to show them?
I showed him, I sent him images online.
Okay.
I emailed him. I actually had the images picked out.
Yeah.
So I said, this is what I want to do. And then Brian, same thing. So He was fine with that. So, and then, you know, it's when it's over, it's for me anyways, it's like coming down from a high, I guess. During the exhibit, during like opening night and stuff, and like friends that I never thought I would see in person and stuff, and you know, that were just on Facebook. But it, you know, it's the discussing, it's talking about the images. And Julia was there. Julia Dean was there.
Oh, really? Good.
Yeah, bless her. It's an exciting time.
So, what size did you print them? Did you print everything the same size or frame them all the same way?
Pretty much. Being on a budget, I did mostly 11 to 14
mm-hmm.
unframed with the molding, you know, essentially acting as a frame. So it was 11 to 14 and add 2 inches. So, 13 by 16 total space. And no nails. I just used double stick, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not a permanent adhesive.
Yeah,
it doesn't take like the wall with it. So
yeah.
That worked fine. It worked fine. Nothing, you know, everything stayed in place.
So you did frame them with, what'd you say, some molding?
Well, I had a matting.
Oh, mat. Oh, so you had like a mat board. Okay.
Yeah. So the printer that I've used for years and years and years, who I've never met, I've never been down to see, he did those. He wrapped them in like a cellophane pocket envelope. He does great work. So it's Fullerton Digital in Orange County, but he's always right on the money. We set him up. My brother helped me. My brother that's in the movie business or, you know, works on a show, he actually did the lighting for our, for this. But he hooked up some lighting for opening night. That was perfect. Just unbelievable. I mean, he did things, you know, with the grip clips on the water pipes, which is probably illegal, but it was perfect. It was perfect.
That's really cool. Yeah, I just started really getting into printing a year ago, thanks to another fellow, I guess I'll call it Angelino. You guys call yourselves that? Yeah, Mark Endig.
Yeah.
You know Mark? Mark Endig from LA.
Sounds familiar.
Oh, okay. I thought you might know him. He was really involved with the LACP and I judged a street contest for the LACP a couple years ago.
Oh.
And he was the winner. So we, you know, we got to be friends. He sent me a photo. I'm trying to show him a photo on my wall here, right there. That's what we're.
Yes. Like, actually, if I saw his photo or some photos, I would probably, or if I saw a picture of him, I made.
Oh, yeah. Him. Oh, yeah. Anyway. So yeah, he got me into it. So it's really, I don't know. I think it's rewarding to print your own work and actually touch it and hang it up someplace.
It is. It just comes to life. That seems to be the natural progression.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you want it to be a real thing.
I've had some students over the years that, not too many, that use their phone, which is okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, but they use it for looking at the images. And I said, you know what? You will be so pleasantly surprised, I think, if you see this, your image on a larger screen. I mean, let alone printing it, but on a larger.
Oh, yeah.
Take it home. If you want, call me and I'll tell you how to, you know, to view it on your computer and stuff like that. Just, yeah, it's seeing a large, large digitally and then, of course, printed on a wall.
Yeah, I did. To me, there's no substitute for a hard copy, an actual print. And that's coming from somebody who makes their living with a digital magazine.
That's right. That's
but yeah, photo book, yeah, prints, frame prints. I think it makes a huge difference. We both grew up with that, so that's
yeah.
That's that probably has a lot to do with it. So I don't know. So what else are you working on? Do you have anything, any other exhibits coming up that you're?
I did win a contest.
Oh,
a big contest. Well, one that I wanted to win, but didn't think I would win. It's called Project LA or Project. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's run by Julia Dean and
yeah, I know it. Yeah.
Daniel Sackheim, who is a producer, director, writer in the business, and some other, and then Jeff Bridges is involved, and some of the people.
Jeff Bridges with the Wide Lux guy.
Yes, yeah.
Not to mention the dude, but
the dude. Nah. I hope he's supposed to be there on the 27th. So, I won in the street photography category, and there I think there are 30 other winners and stuff, and so I mean, talk about when I first saw the email heading, it said congratulations, you know, it was from Julia Dean. So I looked at it and I literally, you know, I have a habit of just, you know, not reading too fast or skipping and stuff like that, so I kept reading it. I won. So I even had to ask her. I said, "Do you sure you didn't make a mistake?" yeah. So I was just pleasantly surprised, and
that's quite honored. An honor. Yeah, she's been working on this thing a lot. It sounds It sounds like a great event. Yeah, April 27th.
27th is going to be outside in Chinatown. Outside.
Yeah, that's what she said. Yeah.
What's that? 48 feet by. Let's see, no, 40 feet by 80 or something like that.
Yeah, don't skimp.
Yeah.
This is LA, the big time.
Big time, yeah. So I think there'd be two complete shows.
80 feet wide, 3 stories high. Whoa. You better sit towards the back.
A wonderful area. Chinatown, for those who haven't been, is a wonderful, wonderful place to visit and to photograph. Incredible.
So which photo of yours won? Are you sharing that, or you can't share that yet?
I can share it. But there was I think I 16 or 17. I think I could have submitted 20 and I submitted 17 and they won.
A series? Is it a series?
Yes, a series.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The series, and then also I was talking about Johnny Simmons, mm-hmm. The American Society of Cinematographer. He was also one of the judges, and Daniel Sackheim. And
wow, that's wonderful. Do you have that series by itself on your website?
Mostly, okay. I think it's mostly what I did exhibit, and I have that exhibit.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because we're going to, you know, we haven't asked you yet, but we're going to include a link to your website, and then any other, you know, pertinent sections we'll put in the, you know, in the show notes of the show. And of course, in the article we're going to do about you, you know, we'll make sure we include all that. So
before I forget,
yeah.
And of course, there's a lot of things under that category, but, so I have, I have had 3 master shots accepted at the Leica magazine LFI. Well, one of them
made the
photo of the week.
Oh,
so
you really?
Made the master shot, the photo of the week. So it's coming out in the this month's issue of LFI.
Oh, of the magazine. Oh,
yeah.
That's quite.
I got this wonderful letter. Yeah. And she said, she says, please, you know, we need it bigger, and put your address, and we'll send you the magazine. And then I sent it to her, and she said, thank you. We really love your image.
That's a tough one. I've gotten two of those just in the LFI gallery, you know.
Yeah, it's a good feeling.
Yeah, it is. I know. I was really honored. I mean, there's so much great work on that site.
Yeah, I love that site.
Yeah, very cool. Very cool. Well, Mark, I don't know why I said that. Rick, since we're talking about your website, why don't you tell us, you know, where people can find you, you know, your website, any social media presences?
The website is photographybyrichardmsmith.com.
Okay.
And the Instagram is ricksmith54922.
We'll put the link in there for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got to start. I've been slacking off on Instagram.
I go through periods of slacking off. But for sure. So I do post, you know, when I've gotten the master shots, or if I didn't get the master shots, I got into a category and I post that, and then I link it to the international, to Leica LA. That's one place you need to go to when you come.
That's what I've
down
heard
here again.
I've been in the DC store several times, but which is small, but yeah, I hear they've got quite a gallery in there.
It's wonderful. It's upstairs is nothing but gallery, and there's a terrace, and you know, everything you'd expect Leica, you know, to put up to do.
Yeah, definitely. Good. Well, we're going to share that. And when the magazine comes out in May, like I said,
it's March. Oh, your magazine. I'm sorry.
Yeah, our magazine. Yeah. When our magazine, Street Photography Magazine, sorry about that.
No,
we're talking about all these magazines. Leica, they've got more work to do to catch up to us.
Yes. Yes.
We set the bar. We raise the bar.
Yeah. And then, hope it doesn't take them long.
Yeah. It'll take, they'll catch on. They'll catch on. And, when it comes out in May, one of your photos will be on the cover. We actually have two covers. We have an inside cover too. And then there's going to be an article about you that our editor Ashley's going to write, and she's really good.
Thank you.
Yeah. She gets to the heart of it, but yeah, I really have to thank you for submitting. By the way, Rick, submits pretty regularly to our Street Shooters of the Month, and you'll see his work in there. That's what captures our attention a lot of times, is people who participate. We know who we are.
It's a wonderful magazine. I'm glad
you like it.
Yeah, you do a superb job. Which reminds me, just a quick question. Have you published other magazines?
No, this is my first. We've been doing it 11 years now. It's been 11 years this month. Yeah. We're recording this in April, by the way. 11 years this month. We started in 2013. I thought I'd do it for a few months. Can't stop.
And there's so much beautiful work out there.
There is.
I mean, under that banner, under that heading of Street Photography.
Yeah. There's so many good people, so many excellent photographers. And so we're real happy that people take the time and the interest to share their work through our platform so others can see and learn from them.
And it's international. I mean, it's...
Oh, yeah. All around the world. I think I should keep track of how many countries we've published or work from people in, you know, which countries. A lot. It's a whole lot. All right. Well, Rick, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Glad we were able to catch up. And looking forward to working with you in the future.
Yes. And it was an honor to be interviewed by you. Thank you so, so very much.
Oh, you're welcome. It's an honor for us as well. Appreciate it. Your thoughts about the show go a long way in helping us decide on the guests and the subjects that we include in each episode. So please take a few moments to write a review in Apple Podcasts or whatever service you use to stream your podcasts. It helps us know if we're on the right track, and it helps others to find and enjoy the show. The editor of Street Photography Magazine is Ashley Refo, and our audio engineer is Russell Boyd from WeBit Studios, found at webitstudios.co.uk. I'm Bob Patterson, and this is the Street Photography Magazine podcast, a service of Street Photography Magazine.